Beautiful. Warm day. What amazing, from 30 below zero to 17 makes. Amen. I'm glad you're here. Sorry about the wind out there. We had the church parking lot all plowed. And that wind kind of made a little difference out there. But thank you for sliding in. We wish you a Merry Christmas. And we pray that this will be a blessing to you and an encouragement. I'm going to turn it over to, I'm going to have a word of prayer. And I'm going to turn it over to Brother Beal. And thank you so much for all the work you put into this. I think that Charles is finally getting to sleep. That's what scares me out there. I hope he'll wake up. Amen.
That's right. Father, thank you for this wonderful time of the year that we call Christmas. Lord, thank you so much that you, the mighty, almighty God, came to this world and showed us what God looks like. Lord, I pray you just bless now. Help us, Lord, be it the boys and girls as they sing and do their part. Lord, would you bless them and encourage them today, and may our parents be encouraged to see that the wonderful story
that can be told by children. And thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord, I pray for those that are still coming in. Pray, God, you keep them safe out there. Thank you for loving us. Be it those that could not be here, Lord, I think of those in the military. Lord, I pray you bless them. And the first responders, pray you bless them for keeping us safe and doing their part to serve our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Christmas and all through the house. Not a creature was stirring, except for a mouse. We had left for Grandma's house, we traveled with care, and stopped at a motel to spend the night there. While visions of Grandma's pie danced in our heads, the power went out and we froze in our beds. My mom wore her mittens, my dad wore his cap. We all shivered and shook through our long winter's nap. My cheeks were like roses, my nose like a cherry, but though we were freezing, our spirits were merry.
All right, come on, kids. Time to get up. Let's rise and shine. Rise and shine.
I think my nose is frozen. Great, Ruthie, you can eat a squirrel at house today. Ruthie, the red-nosed reindeer. Daddy, David's teasing me again.
What? Wake up, you silly old bear.
Yeah.
Mommy, I'm hungry. Can I have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for breakfast?
Daddy, I'm freezing. Let's hurry. I'm ready for a great big turkey dinner with stuffing and gravy and homemade pot rolls and pie.
Sounds like a good idea, Ruthie. No one makes pumpkin pie like your grandma. All right, let's get going.
Daddy, ta-da. Last night when the power went out, we put on our clothes in the dark.
What did we think about?
We did.
Oh, yeah. You gotta get up pretty early to outsmart this old bear.
Hey, everybody, look outside. Oh, goody, it's snowing.
Oh, no. The bear is almost buried in snow. It's a blizzard.
A blizzard?
The snow must be at least 3 feet deep. Daddy, can I play in the snow, please, Daddy? I want to build a...
Great. I can't believe it. I knew I shouldn't trust that weatherman. He's got beady eyes, and he's not even a meteorologist. Three kids in a broken-down motel room, no heat, no TV, no food, and worst of all, no McDonald's.
I need a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Real bad.
Starts growling and I'm feeling kind of weak. When my head starts spinning and my joints begin to creak. When I see I'm breaking out with purple polka dots. There's just one thing that hits the spot. Give me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. A peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Ah, it tastes so fine, just any time. On a plane, in a car, with a bowl of caviar. A peanut butter and jelly sandwich. A peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Ah, it's mealtime star, it's paradise in a jar. A peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Have your tenderloin, juicy T-bone steak. You could have your cookies, your cobbler, and your cake. I love smooth, I love crunchy. I'm a dedicated fan, and it really doesn't matter if it's Jeff or Peter Pan. Give me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. A peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It tastes so fine, just any time. On a plane, in a car, with a bowl of caviar. A peanut butter and jelly sandwich. A peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It's the mealtime star, it's paradise in a jar. A peanut butter butter and jelly sandwich. Yeah.
Now don't you worry, Joshua. Your father won't let us starve. Will you, honey?
No newspaper, no turkey, no football, no cake, no pie.
But we still have our presents. Dad, the van door's open and all of our presents are gone?
Oh, Joseph, wrong husband.
Are you sure?
I want the van myself. Every door.
The back window's broken, Dad.
Oh, Joseph, not the children's presents. What are we going to do?
There's not much we can do, honey. I'll go down to the motel office and try to call the police. Keep the kids here.
What kind of meanie would steal our presents on Christmas? I don't know, but if I ever find them all, I'll punch them right in the kneecap.
Okay, kids, that's enough. I know you're disappointed. We all are. But we're going to have to make the best of it.
Make the best of it without any cake? Wait, no presents.
Mommy, can I have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for breakfast?
Peanut butter? Yuck. How can you think of your stomach at a time like this? What about our turkey dinner waiting at Grandma's house? What about all our presents? I just want to cancel Christmas. Let's skip this holiday. There won't be Christmas presents. There won't be Christmas cheer. So I wanna cancel Christmas. I'll wait until next year. I can't help but pout and brood. I wanna cancel Christmas. I'm in such a grouchy mood. I wanna cancel Christmas. I won't get a decent meal. What a lousy rotten deal. Just imagine how you feel. I wanna cancel Christmas. I wanna cancel Christmas. If I can have my way, I wanna cancel Christmas. Let's get this holiday. Christmas presents, there won't be Christmas cheer. So I wanna cancel Christmas, I'll wait until next year. What's the sense of acting fine? I wanna cancel Christmas. I feel mean as Frankenstein. I wanna cancel Christmas. What an awful tragedy, stuck here with my family. Someone show some sympathy. I wanna cancel Christmas. I wanna cancel Christmas. If I can have my way, I wanna cancel Christmas. Let's skip this holiday. There won't be Christmas. There won't be Christmas cheer, so I wanna cancel Christmas. I'll wait until next year.
Yes, our Christmas spirit was almost frozen solid that morning. The police told my dad there was nothing they could do. They were stuck in a blizzard like the rest of us. Mom was really feeling disappointed. Not for herself, of course, but for us. When I looked at Mom, I saw tears in her eyes. It was time for some serious action. We three kids made a plan. That afternoon when the snow stopped, all three of us went next door to the gas station and bought what little food they had left. We also got a branch outside of our room that had broken off a tree. Then we surprised Mom and Dad with a special Christmas celebration.
Good evening, sir. Our special of the day is peanut butter surprise.
The main entrees are fine with gourmet peanut butter, served on a low-carb on white bread with a side order of penicillin mold. Guaranteed to fill your tummy and kill your germs.
We'll take two over medium. Hold the mold, please. And two sparkling waters. Hold the Alka-Seltzer for dessert.
An excellent choice. Waiter!
Coming!
Dinner is served.
This is first class. Candlelight, peanut butter surprise, and three very special kids.
Merry Christmas, Mom and Dad!
Merry Christmas, Rosie.
Tonight is a special time. We celebrate Jesus' birthday. We're all out of cake, so this will have to do. Oh, goody! A peanut butter cup!
Thank you.
Really sleep in the hay?
Yes, he did, Josh. He was born in a stable, kind of like a barn where animals live. Not a very nice place for a little baby.
I'll tell you what, kids. Let's all get our Bibles out and we'll read the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2.
It's on page 178, Slowpoke.
I know where it is, Marty.
You do? Where is it?
It's, right after Luke chapter 1.
All right, that's enough, you two. Davey, you go ahead and read verse 1.
Okay. And it came pass in those days that there were whipped out for a decree for
from Caesar Augustus.
Caesar Augustus, and that all the world would be taxed.
And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. You're next, Joshua.
And they all went to be taxed,
everyone
unto his own city.
And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house of the house and lineage of David.
What about me, Dad?
Okay, Ruthie, it's your turn.
To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child.
And back to you, Davy.
And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should deliver.
Joshua, go ahead and try verse 7.
And she brought forth her first son and laid him in a manger, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there's no room for them in the inn. Whew, that was a long one.
Good job, Joshua.
Daddy, Jesus left everything in heaven to become and be born in that manger, didn't he?
Yes, he did. It's easy to forget that sometimes, isn't it?
I have never thought of that very much. I'm always busy on presents, candy, and but
please, Davy, don't mention Christmas dinner again.
Oh, sorry, Mom. I guess this Christmas we have a better idea of what it must have been like for Mary and Joseph. They were probably cold and hungry, too.
I bet they didn't have any turkey dinner. Did they have peanut butter in the Bible, Dad? Daddy?
I don't think so, Joshua. On that very first Christmas, Mary and Joseph didn't have any of the things most people associate with Christmas.
Oh, yes, they did.
Oh, they did?
Uh-huh. They had the most biggest and best present in the whole wide world, baby Jesus.
You're right, son. They did have the best present of all, the Son of God. That's why there was such rejoicing.
You know what, Dad? Jesus is all we really need for Christmas.
That's right, Dave.
And you can open our present. Oh, goody, it's a big one.
What have you three elves been up to?
Well, it looks like this holiday is just full of surprises.
Merry
Christmas, Mom and Dad.
Read the card, Mommy.
Okay, let's see. Although our money was running low and the store was out of stock, we found the most practical present of all from New York to Bangkok. Our spirits had grown sad and cold as Christmas came this year. We thought that Christmas was found in presents delivered by 8 tiny reindeer. But we will never forget this Christmas is the best we've ever had because we gave Jesus first place in our hearts. Merry Christmas, Mom and Dad.
Hurry up and open it, Dad.
All right. Oh, no. A 3-pound jar of peanut butter? Crunchy style?
So what's for dessert?
Peanut butter snow cones. What started out as the worst Christmas we ever had ended up as the best.
We even started a new Christmas tradition at our house.
Now every year we have a special candlelight snack before bed. And we always have the same thing to eat, peanut butter sandwiches.
We all enjoy it, but it also reminds us that Christmas is not primarily just a time for presents and parties and candy.
Christmas is the best time of year to praise the Lord.
Thank you. Folks, please give them a round of applause again for all their hard work.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. Well, they're going to have trouble now. He's going to church. All right, ushers, you come at this time. We're going to have a service in just a moment here. And I hope you got good pictures. And thank you so much for coming today. It's a great opportunity, isn't it, just to see the boys and girls perform and enjoy themselves. A couple of announcements here. I'm looking for a bulletin. I don't see one here. Do we have any?
Thank you. This is called Baptist Menu. First of all, we have our newest baby in our church, Jordan Donahue. Can you show him off? Is it really real? I went in to see that baby at home 2 hours after it was born. And my face hurts so bad from smiling at him. It's so cute. And that makes number 5 boys in your family. Amen? So, repopulating Donahue right there. Glad to have you here today. Thank you so much. For a couple of announcements here, tonight at 6 o'clock, evening, Dr. Fowler, looking for time, I am speaking on the whole, which is about husband and wife relationships. And I hope you'll be here tonight at 6 o'clock. Then, Wednesday at 7:30, we'll be having our Bible study. I'm teaching on the book of Revelation, verse by verse. And I hope you'll come and listen. There's a lot of things going on in this whole world. And it's amazing how that the Bible rings so true. I mean, perfectly on. And things that are happening in this world. 3 things that the Revelation gives us. Number 1, it tells about the past. Chapter 1, if you study Revelation, when you read chapter 1, that talks about the past. Chapter 2 and 3 talks about the present. Right now, what's happening with churches, 7 churches of Asia Minor. And then, some chapter 4 on, it's all future. That's all future. It talks about the rapture, when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back and take us, and we'll ever be with Him. And then it talks about the marriage feast of the Lamb, talks about the judgment seat of Christ. Then it also talks about the 7 years of tribulation period. Horrible. Unbelievable what's going on. And it sure looks like it's getting ready, amen? And I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven. I know Jesus, my Savior. Come Wednesday night, 7:30, during that time, 6:30 choir practice, and then Saturday at 10:30, we will not be having our soul winning. We won't have our bus calling. And then Saturday at 7 o'clock, that's Christmas Eve, we have a candlelight service right here. It lasts about 30 minutes. make sure you're here, because a lot of people come to this. It's an amazing thing how that people just kind of sneak in. And it's kind of dark in here with the candle burning. And all of a sudden, they look over and you don't even see that. You know who that person is. So we get to know them, say how you're growing. And we have the boys and girls come up on the platform, and my wife and I sit in rocking chairs and read the Christmas story, and we go crazy up there. But anyway, and then Sunday morning, next Sunday morning is Christmas, of course, and so we're going to start our service at 11 o'clock. The main service is at 11 o'clock. Buses will not run, but it'll be Christmas morning. At 11 o'clock, and then also we'll have a 6 o'clock service on Christmas night. So I hope you'll be faithful. Be faithful to the Lord. It is his birthday. It'll be a terrible thing if somebody showed up to your birthday. And so we certainly appreciate all you guys are doing around here. And then, of course, don't forget about our New Year's Eve service. That's crazy. That's at 9 o'clock on Saturday night, the next week, and after we have games and things in here, we'll go over and eat, and then we'll go out and come back in here, we pray, and then we'll go out and shoot fireworks. So if you've got any fireworks left over, bring them Saturday night, and we'll, hopefully the weather is good. Amen. All right. How should we tell this up? I want to welcome you visitors here today. Thank you so much for coming. We're glad you're here today. Hope you enjoyed yourself while you're here. And I pray that this will be one of the best Christmases you've ever had. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us and caring for us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to preach the Word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for our church. Thank you, Lord, for all the things that go on here. Pray you bless these little boys and girls and their parents and letting them come to our church. Pray you bless them. Help us, Lord, as we would realize what this season's all about. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Jesus. Thank you very much. Take your Bible, please, and turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Let's stand and read God's Word today, Isaiah chapter 9. And we're going to read the two verses there in 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. For unto us is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. From henceforth, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us and caring for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to this world, dying for us, so that we may live. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the promise of heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the promises of the Word of God that you will be forever. And there's no ending to it. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your gift of God. And Lord, I pray that you just bless this time and speak to our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I've been reading the Word of God in Isaiah quite a bit, and you might say tripped over or came over the scripture where it says, for unto us a child is born, and of course this is all Revelation. Isaiah is writing to the church, to the people of Israel, and saying, now listen, there is going to be a child that's born. And this is how you can know who this child is. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful. We looked at that word Wonderful. And the next word we looked at the Wonderful Counselor. There is nobody like God who can understand our trials and understand all of our problems in our heart. There's no one in this universe that can understand and to be able to help us. And how the scripture teaches us that he is that wonderful God. Wonderful, this word wonderful means there is no comparison of us. And he's the counselor. Counselors, we get that from the idea of going to court. And the lawyer, our counselor, our advocate, one who stands alongside of us and pleads our case. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoa, if you ever got in trouble, I certainly want the Lord Jesus Christ to be my lawyer, amen, my counselor, amen. For he knows everything. Nothing ever gets by him. And so today I'd like to speak to you about the mighty God. The Savior was going to have a certain features that would make it possible for mankind to identify him. And one of those features is that he was the mighty God. He had certain promises, features mankind could see in him. And the scripture told us in the Old Testament prophets and the people, this is who you're supposed to be looking for. Luther wrote a great theological hymn, which is called The Mighty Fortress is Our God. And when you read Isaiah's description of the Messiah in chapter 9 and verse 6 of Isaiah, and how that he was the mighty God, and fits perfectly with the words that engage to explain who this Messiah was and who is coming. The hymn has to do with the mighty God who has powerful and who is powerful in warfare, who is powerful in glory, and powerful in might. Listen to the hymn. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is no equal is equal. But we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Just ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name, from ages to ages the same. And He must win the battle, and through this world with devil's filth should threaten to undo us. We will not fear, for God has willed His truth, the triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. O little word shall fall him, that word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The spirit and the gift of our, through him who is inside us. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life our soul. The body they may kill, God's truth about us still, His kingdom is forever. God Almighty is our Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, we so often balk and trifle at the troubled world that we're living in. We get so bent out of shape if we do not get what we want. We cry unfair. We are constantly crying for the umpires and the ref to play it back and see if it was the right kind of play. Can I let you in on a little secret? God knows exactly what we need. When we need it, and how we can handle it. If we think that we don't, quote unquote, get what we believe is ours or what we deserve, we get all sidetracked and sideways. We get so emotionally involved with these little things of life that cause us little hiccups. We don't function. And we're in fear. My dear friend, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior and you have realized we serve a risen Savior who is the Lord of hosts. Yes, He is, who came from the heaven above. Yes, born so low that no one could ever be brought into this world any lower. Yes, He was the Christ child, the babe, but He was also the God-man, God in the flesh, incarnate. That sweet little baby Jesus, that the drummer boy wants to find some way to give Him, was the true and everlasting God, the creator of this vast universe. He spoke, and everything became into existence out of nothing. He came in the flesh so that we could see, so that we could hear what God looked like and spoke like. For years I've been preaching, for years I've read this Bible, but one morning I was reading the Bible where it said, for John chapter 14 and verse 8, Philip saith unto Him, Lord, show us the Father. And it's sufficient of us, suffice of us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Listen to what Jesus said. And don't miss it. Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus was and is and ever will be the manifestation of God the Father. In other words, manifestation means to show forth or to be able to gaze upon it. In other words, you could understand it. That teeny little baby in the manger was God Himself in the flesh. You see, in the history of mankind, no man has ever seen God. But if you get a glimpse of Jesus, what you've seen is the Father. Every day we ought to thank God for the mighty God that God gave us, thanking Him for His mighty power. He has power over death. He has power over resurrection. Look at what He says in the powerful words that He speaks. Lazarus, come forth in the Bible. Lazarus is dead. He'd been dead for 4 days. Yet he arose at the call of Christ and came forth alive. That's mighty. The Glory to God. When you think of that, that is what you get when you ask Him to be your Savior. His salvation is enough. It is grace alone, not by works. Thank God that that baby Jesus that had come to the stable, He was and is omnipresent. He's every place at all times. He is, that God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's omniscient. That means He knows everything. That's the mighty God. Scripture teaches us that He is our counselor. And that He goes to God on our behalf and makes intercessory prayer for us. He prays for you. And when you don't know how to pray or what to pray, He is answering. He's answering God. To think of it, that baby Jesus who was born in the manger in Bethlehem was the author and creator and the finisher of our faith. He loves you. And He loves me. He is magnificent. He's meticulous. He is marvelous. He is wonderful. He's perfect. He's awesome. He's incredible. And to think that He loves you without comparison, He is so real. He is all wise. And He has and is the answer to everything. And every problem, every trial, every decision, every burden, and every care. And to think, if you call upon Him, He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He'll save you for all eternity. He can be your wonderful, loving Abba Father. This crazy world is so mixed up. They try to keep us from this wonderful Savior, but you can't keep us from our wonderful Savior. The Savior that is called the Mighty Ruler, God has, is to God, and is the superior military authority. He is the hero. He is the supernatural ruler of the universe, mighty champion. He has never lost the battle and never will. He possesses all authority over all military. He is a genius, a military leader in battle, and He is a winner, and He never loses. That's got a promise to you. Isn't it amazing what God does for us? The Bible says here that He is the mighty God. He is the powerful God. There's no one like Him. I was thinking yesterday, I wish I could just some way, somehow, get people to understand how great God really is. You know, if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do not fear death. I know last week, as many of you know, our dear friend, Joe Spryer, to be with the Lord. Devastated. She left his little daughter. Only 49 years old. Got cancer. And when I was working on this message, I thought, you know what? Jill's in heaven today. She has no fear, no heartache, no sorrow. She has the mind of Christ. God has comforted her there. God loves her. And not only that, but He also comforts us and loves us while we wait for our chance to go to heaven. I'm glad that I serve a mighty God. I'm glad that I serve a God who can just speak and say, let it just come forth. And out of the grave, He arises great. He comes out. I thank God that not only that, but God Himself, Jesus Christ, raised from the grave. We have a hope that is sure. We sorrow not as others who have no hope. Can you imagine what people... I've seen so many times of people going through troubles and hardships and sorrows. And I wonder, how do they get through there? How do they get through that day? When they go to bed, do they lay their head on the pillow and say, dear Lord, would you please help me today? I don't know which way to turn. I don't know what to say. I don't know where to go. I don't know what how to take care of this, Lord. Where do they go to? Thank God we have a Savior who listens to us. He's our counselor. He goes before God, and when many times I'll say, Lord, I don't know what to pray. I don't even know what to say to you, Lord God. And the Bible says that the Lord prays for us. He speaks for us when we don't even know what to say. Aren't we excited to be our counselor? that loves us and cares for us and stands in the gap and stands between us and the Holy God. How about you today? Do you have this one? Do you have the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace? Do you have Him in your heart and your life? Or is your life just a shambles? You go to bed, you toss and turn, you don't know what to think, you're trying to figure things out, trying to work things out. Even your friends seem to be leaving you. Even your best friend doesn't care about you because they got their own troubles and they got their own sorrows. They got their own heartaches and they got their own hurts. They got their own depressions. Who do you go to? Who do you go to? You have this one? You have this one that, listen now, He's always the winner. He's always winning. He never loses. All things work together for good to them that love God, them that call according to His purpose. You have a winner on your side. You have one that will always watch over and care for you. Who assures us? By His power as the creator of all creation, that He can say to you, I can handle it. A lot of times as a child, things happen that they don't know how to fix. You know how to fix it. And they work and they work and they work and they, in fact, they destroy things trying to fix it. Then Dad comes along and says, let me help you. And Dad fixes it. Let me tell you something. There's a Father in heaven that loves you very much. And all the troubles you're going through there, and all the heartaches you're going through, and maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's a heart issue. Maybe it's a problem with a child or a grandchild. I want you to know that if you turn it over to the winner, He can handle it. And our God can handle everything. All things. You say, preacher, I don't know what to turn. Go to God. I don't know which way to go. Go to God. Go to Him. Beg. Say, dear God, I don't understand. I don't understand how to take care of this. Lord, it's only You. It's only You. So today I want to leave you with this fact. The Bible says, for unto us is born unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and the peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice. I think there's nothing more in this old world that we cry more for. Lord God, give America justice and justice.
Amen.
I like things that are fair. I like things that are true. I don't want somebody getting a better deal than I get, and I don't want a better deal than somebody else gets. I just want to be fair. I want to be just. And God says, let me tell you, there's a day coming that there's going to be a place in this world that judgment and justice is going to be, and what it says, forever. What a promise of God. I hope today that you have this Lord God in your heart. I hope you have the Lord God Almighty as your Savior. He's a winner. He never loses. He's a master and genius of battle. And there's a lot of battles that are going on in this old world. He said, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to take care of it. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have a God who's a winner. We have a God that never loses. We have a God that even in the end of life and its death is a promise to us that we will never die and will ever be with the Lord. Thank you for those promises, Lord, that you give us today. Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts and help us today. If there's anyone here, they're not sure they're saved, not sure they have the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, the mighty God, that today they would invite you to be their city. Depends about how it goes. I'm going to ask you a couple questions here today. First of all, are you saved? That means, do you have a home in heaven when you die? You have that promise of God that says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Has there time, been a time in your life you've looked at your own self and said, you know, I'm a sinner. And because of my sins, I owe a terrible price. And that's death and hell. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. So you pray to God Almighty and say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive my sin. Come into my heart and save me right here and right now. And God did. Boy, that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing to know from now on. You're protected. You're looked after. I wonder if today you say, preacher, I haven't done that, but I'd sure like to do it today. Would you right there in the quietness of this hour, bow your head, and ask God to forgive your sins, and ask Him to come in your heart, and save you right here and right now. I'll help you. All you have to do is pray this prayer. Pray a prayer like this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe He died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right here and right now. You're here today and said goodbye to the program. You say, preacher, I did that. If you lift your hand, I'll thank God for you. I want to pray for you. God bless you. Anyone else? Oh my, just to think to have the God of heaven, the one who is the mighty God, who always was the genius of it all, the creator of all, say, won't you be my son? He's asking you today. Pray. Father, I pray you speak to our hearts today. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. I pray, Holy Father, that you would do a great work in our hearts and our lives today. May we trust you today and know you as our Savior. Lord, I pray now as we have this invitation that, Lord, you speak to our hearts and you give our, that we would give our hearts to you in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. You hear today as a preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on the way to heaven. I'm sure I'd like to know that. Once you step out of that, you won't count as out. Take your father and some treatment today. I want Jesus. I want to be sure I have Jesus in my Savior. What a wonderful problem.
Truth. The Almighty God. Are you saved? Are you sure you're on your way to heaven? Today, say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Why don't you come? Maybe you're here today and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time? Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to be in church. And thank you for the story that the boys and girls told us today and sang about. Lord, I pray you bless those little ones. Watch over and care for them. Lord, you know their needs, and they're great. Lord, I also pray, Lord Jesus, for those who have trusted you as their Savior. Help us, Lord Jesus, to realize what a great and wonderful God that we serve. One who will never leave us nor forsake us. One who promises to be our advocate. The one who promised to be our counselor. And he's a wonderful counselor. There's no way to even explain it. Lord, I pray you'd bless now. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. Help us as we go to our separate homes now and come back tonight at 6. And Lord, may this be a wonderful day as we serve you in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. You're dismissed.